Hey everyone, welcome to the Dad Talks Podcast, the podcast where we bring dads together to share stories in order to encourage and inspire other dads to be better every day. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Dad Talks. There's a story in the Bible. Now hang on. If you're not a Christian, don't check out yet. Just stick with me. Listen to this. There's a story in the Bible that talks about a place the Israelites ended up staying or calling because of an event, the Graves of Craving. Right, so they called this place Graves of Craving. Now, in order to know why they did that, you have to go back to the beginning of the story and figure out why would they name this place the Graves of Craving. And what we can learn from that is a lesson in contentment. All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Dad Talks. I'm your host, JT Zrodnik, and as always, I am super excited that you're here. So as I said in the intro, there's a story in the Bible that mentions a place called the Graves of Craving. Graves of Craving or Graves of Lust, which is just a crazy name. So the story is found in Numbers 11. Now, as I said also in the beginning, just because you're a Christian or don't believe in this, don't check out. This will apply to you as well. And as I said, where I'm going, we're going to learn contentment and begin to connect it to our life, the things we go through, and then ultimately like teaching our kids commitment. All right, so the story is found in Numbers 11. And it's a story of the Israelites. And if you don't know the Israelites, let's go back to the beginning, right? There's a guy named Abraham. Abraham marries Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, they're old. They don't have any kids, right? And back in that time, and I mean, even today, like if you don't have kids, your lineage doesn't live on, obviously. But it's really important back then. Abraham, Sarah, no kids. God says, hey, you're going to have kids. And to the point, Abraham, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky, the sand, and the sea, or the beach, whatever. And he's like, okay, sure, that's not going to work out. They kind of get tired of waiting. He ends up, you know, sleeping with a slave, has a kid. God's like, that ain't it. I'm going to give you a son. Okay, later, boom, kid, Isaac. So Abraham and Sarah have Isaac. One kid, boom, they pass away. Isaac has Esau and Jacob. Only two kids. So far there's three, right? There's not a ton. Esau screws up, does stuff. Jacob's a deceiver. Great name to have that. Jacob then ends up having 12 sons. That's where you get the 12 tribes of Israel, because Jacob is later renamed Israel. They have multiple kids. That's the story. You continue, right? You end up in Egypt because 12 sons, 11 sons of Jacob. So Joseph, the youngest, into slavery. He ends up in Egypt, goes through a whole bunch of stuff. They come to Egypt because there's famine. They live in Egypt. They begin to multiply. The new Egyptian pharaoh comes, says, oh, these people are taking over. They breed like rabbits. Let's put them into slavery. They go into slavery for several hundred years. In that time, they multiply, grow. God hears a cry, sends Moses. Moses comes, frees the people. They go out into the desert. God says, I'm going to give you the promised land of Canaan. It's all yours. And then that's kind of really quick overview of it, right? The Israelites then wander through the deserts and they have their issues. So that's where we're at. So we're in Numbers, book of the Bible, and it's all about numbers, obviously, and it's recounts some of the stories that we've heard, different perspectives. So the Israelites are out in the desert. Right, so long-term camping, and not like today's camping where people are like, we live in an RV all the time, and it's amazing. Look at our cool little RV camper van thing that we have. Woo, glam, tiny home, super house. Blah, right? Okay, it's not that. It's dirty, it's dusty, it's a desert. Tents, right? It doesn't have all the modern conveniences that we have. It's tough. It's actually hard. Like it's the frontier that they're living out. And so they're there. They, you know, complain. Obviously, we all would. God takes care of them, right? He gives them water. They have water when they need it. Then they are hungry. He gives them stuff called manna. But then they start complaining, like we all do, that we're in a situation and we just want more, right? We're not content with what we have. So they start complaining about their current circumstances. But here's where this began to get crazy for me. They start complaining to God, to Moses about God, and complaining about like the way it used to be. So they say back when we were in Egypt, we had all the meat we could eat. We had fish. We had these vegetables we could eat. We don't have any of that now. Like, it was so much better in Egypt because we had this. Which makes you go, seriously? You were slaves. So, like, you would rather be slaves and get to eat Texas Roadhouse every day than to be free and get, you know, McDonald's every day. And I know some of you are like, McDonald's are amazing. Maybe I need to go a lower step than that. But that's the idea of, like, and it even wasn't that great. They're slaves. They got it not that often, right? It was, their life was amazing. Oh, yeah, we just got to eat whenever. You may have gotten eaten, you may have not gotten eaten, you may have gotten beaten, you may have got, like, it's just crazy. But we sit here and look at it and judge them. But we all do it. I mean, I did it myself too. Especially when I was going through the season. And even now, like, I am just learning to be content now, 2-3 years out of just all the crap that I've gone through. Right? Because in the beginning of my separation and the divorce, I was like, gosh, if it could just go back to the way things were, meaning if my ex and I could get back together and just, it would be great. Like, and not necessarily even changing anything. Because I thought about the way it was like, oh, so great. Because, right, married, family, kids. And they get outside and you're like, it wasn't that great. And I'm not saying that I, you know, a little different. Was I a slave? I felt like a slave at times. No, it is different than being a slave, obviously. And I would, yeah, be happy to go back, you know, at that time. Would have been happy to go back and reconcile the marriage and get back with my ex. Now, with some hindsight, you look back and go, oh my gosh, there's a lot of issues that were going on. Like, I don't want to go back to that. I never want to go back to that way of living ever again. Now that I've tasted freedom, this route. And I think that's part of it too, to where the Israelites haven't necessarily understood what is happening. Had that mindset change, that paradigm shift yet of like, you're free. You're free to worship God. You're free to really kind of do whatever you want, but they don't know that, right? They had been in slavery for 400 years. So that was something they were going to have to work themselves out of. And that's part of the design of why God took them out to the desert. God was taking them out and saying, look, you were in this place. This is what had been happening. I'm going to have to pull you out to where, who do you have? Me alone, right? The source of everything was God in the desert. And that was by design. God was pulling them out and saying, I know you're going to struggle and I know you're going to fall into these old habits, but trust me. Trust me in this moment and I'm going to take care of you. And he did. Like, the crazy thing you think about and it talks about, for the 40 years they wandered, their clothes, their shoes, nothing ever wore out. Like, they were fine and they had everything they needed. But it was such a hard transition for them to just understand we're free and we can get out of this. Because here's the crazy thing too. They want to go, you know, right, that selective memory, going back to the way things were of like, oh, remember this. Yeah, but it was awful. And so the crazy thing too, though, is the complaint that they're going to do to God, to Moses, is they're going to complain that they want meat, right? Because they complained they had fish and vegetables. So now they're going to complain and say, we want some meat. We're tired of eating this manna stuff, even though it provides for us, it takes care of us, we're never hungry, we want some meat. And initially you read it and you're like, okay, it's not a bad thing. Like, I mean, sometimes you just want some meat to eat with it. Like, if I just ate bread all the time, I'd be like, oh, man, give me, you know, a hamburger to put in between them or whatever. The issue that's coming up is the Israelites are complaining that God won't take care of them. They're not trusting that he's going to take care of them. Or he's holding back from him, which takes you back to the very beginning of time, the very beginning of the Bible, to the Garden of Eden, right? And the sin that Adam and Eve had, and the serpent was able to put that lie in their head of like, did God really say, is he really going to take care of you? I think he's holding back from you. And it's the same thing that's showing up here, that the Israelites are like, God, like, I mean, come on, we just want some meat. And again, it's more than they just want meat. It's going, I don't know if you're really going to provide for us. Or are you going to take care of us? They're questioning God's provision for their life. is part of it, right? But it's also, they're just not content. Like, they have food. Like, why do you need meat? I don't know, just because that's what we want. And again, it's not an awful thing for them to ask for meat, because he gives it to them later. Like, they have meat and they eat, and it's a part of it. It's how they're asking. It's their desire. It's their heart that they're having, where they're complaining about the circumstances to God because he's not providing. But the crazy thing is this, is they don't want to do anything about it. So here's the crazy thing. It is never forbidden to them that they can't go and hunt. They can't go and get meat for themselves. They just don't want to do it. They're just lazy. They're just complaining. It's that victim mentality we all get into our tough circumstances. We're just like, oh, woe is me. And like, the world is against me. And if, you know, God would just do this or change, then it would get better. If somebody else would do something for me, then it would get better. Right? That's the issue. They can go hunt whenever. It's not like there's not animals out there. And they've, you know, looted the Egyptians. And, you know, they're going to travel and like, get livestock. Now, they can't obviously take a ton because there's a ton of people, and it'd be really hard, you know, to continue to feed them with the livestock they have. They don't have fridges or Yetis out in the desert. So, right, understandable. But the key here is they're not just complaining about wanting meat. They're just complaining to complain, that they're upset that, oh, it's tough, it's new, it's different. We haven't been here before. So instead of taking ownership, we're going to complain. And so there's a quote that is, I've heard on social media, has been going around. And it's this quote is, what if it could be better than you imagined? What if it could be better than you imagined? And I think that's the thing Israelites are going through. Like, they can't imagine how wonderful it could be. So the promise of the promised land is God is saying, I'm going to clean out this whole area of the evil people and give you their homes, their lands, their vines, their food, their livestock, everything. And you don't have to do a darn thing. The only thing you have to do is obey me, is follow me. And I know some of you aren't Christians, like, oh, that's awful. I'm not going to get into the theology of that and debate it. It's actually an amazing thing, and we'll get it. But, you know, anyways, God promises this, like, I'm going to give you a whole bunch, but I just need you to trust me for this moment. And the test is the desert. It's exactly what it said, to where God is saying, look, I'm going to give you everything you've ever wanted. But I know the human heart, and I know if I just gave you everything you ever wanted without working on your heart, you're going to become ungrateful. You're going to turn from me. You're going to forget me. You're going to just turn into the nations, the very same nations we got rid of. And it's exactly what happens. Israelites become ungrateful. They forget God, they turn away from God and just say, I don't need you, God, anymore, because I have everything I need. And so this story is huge, because it's setting the precedent for the people, saying, look, you have to learn to trust me. You have to learn to believe that I'm going to provide for you regardless, in any circumstance. Because when the good times come, it's very easy as humans, that's what we do, to turn away and say, oh, great, I did this. I accomplished it myself. God's saying, I'm going to put you through this desert so you learn. And they ended up being there for 40 years because they continue to go, yep, God, you're not going to take care of us. He's like, oh my gosh, I am essentially going to kill it out of you, out of the line, right? So it's the younger generation that gets in going, okay, I'll start over with them because you guys aren't getting it. Not because he's ungrateful or mean. That's what they wanted, right? And that's part of it too. People are like, oh, God's awful. Read the Bible. The people spend 40 years in the desert because that's what they wanted. When God said, look, I'm going to give you the land right now. At the beginning of the 40 years, before that ever happened, he said, I will give the land of Canaan to you right now. Two believed, 10 didn't. And 10 got everybody else to say, nope, we can't do it. We don't want to go in. We don't want to fight. We don't want to do it. Like, no. God's like, okay, fine. You'll stay out here till every one of you is gone, and I will start over with your kids, and we'll try it then, because you have made this decision. That's what you want, and you're staying here. And so, I mean, there's just so much that we can take from the Israelites and these stories of just, that's how we all still live today. We all look at the Israelites and mock them like, oh my gosh, how could they ever think? We do it all the time. And then we get mad at God when we're in these deserts of like, God, where are you? What are you doing? He's like, I've been here the whole time. I've been providing for you, but it's not enough for you. You're not satisfied. You need something else, and I don't know why. And so the story gets crazy, and this is where we're going to learn the meaning of the word, why they call it the graves of craving or lust. Because the Israelites complain. They want meat. They want some quail, right? So God said, I'll send quail. And God sends so many quail, so it ends up like the winds move and they can get, I mean, just millions. I think somebody, I read somewhere, it was like a meter high, which I'm American, so I don't know what a meter is. So if you know what a meter is, that means a lot. I think it was like a meter thick or something. Like it's just birds everywhere. It was just crazy amount of birds. Birds, the point where like it's coming out of your ear, you know, ears and mouth, just overwhelming you with meat. And so God gave them exactly what they wanted. And so then the story gets just even crazier. And so just trying to imagine this. So if you've ever been to the ocean or, you know, anywhere that's got seagulls, right? And we're all like, hey, let's feed the seagulls. And you throw like a Cheeto up and that one catches. You're like, oh, that's so cool. And then there's just hundreds, you know, then all these seagulls start showing up. And just like, all right, give us food. And you're like, where did they come from attacking you? You know, it's, I remember we went to Costa Rica for a mission trip and it was monkeys, like the same thing. And they all like, don't you feed the monkeys. Don't even look at them because they're going to steal your stuff. And they'll just come out. And they came out. What? Like, it's insane. So it's that idea, just this frenzy of birds and feathers everywhere, just overwhelming the people. And so then the story continues on to where it's this crazy. Crazy scene. Let me back up because so part of before the birds came, God tells Moses, the leader, to bring 70 elders together. Say, I'm going to work with him and I'm prophesying them and they're going to help you with the people. So they're brought to the center of camp where God is. The birds end up on the edges of camp. So there's this frenzy to where, I mean, just the picture again of God's like, okay, I'm here at the center if you want to be with me. And your desires are on the outside. And in order to get your desires, what do you have to do? Leave God. So these birds are coming. So these people are like, whoa, yeah. You know, it's like people rushing the gates on, what, Black Fridays or whenever, you know, when the newest Air Jordans drop. Just, you've seen those videos busting in the store doors. Ah, going crazy. Like, that's what's happening. They are running away from God to fulfill their own cravings and desires. And so then the story continues on and says, while they are chewing on the meat and still in their mouth, God sends a plague and starts wiping people out. And then Moses, you know, the prophet and the 70, they intervene and stop it. But it's just an incredible story because God gives them exactly what they want, and it's awful. I mean, they wanted meat. God said, fine, I'll give you more meat than you can even imagine. You don't even know what to do with. There's so much. And it's awful. And it's not God being vindictive or getting revenge or, you know, whatever. He's saying, look, there's a reason I'm doing what I'm doing. I have a plan. I have a process. But if this is what you want, you think if you could just have, in because part of it, when they said in Egypt, like, we had all the meat we could eat, all the meat we could imagine. It was no problem. He's like, okay, fine. Here's all the meat you can imagine. Here it is. Is that what you wanted? And gives it to them. And it's awful. And so it just, man, is a great. And so then this is where the name Graves of Craving comes from. Because the people, I mean, there's people that died because of the craving they wanted, because they wanted to chase after their sin and desire, which, I mean, you can get even deeper, right? Of where do your sinful desires lead? Death. And not like, you know, we tell our kids of like, all right, kids, if you kiss a girl, you're going to be dead because it's, you know, it just leads to death. You know, if you dance, it leads to kissing leads to sex, and then just you're going to hell. You're dead. Okay, I'm not that crazy most of the time. But it's that idea, right? Thinking about to where their sinful, selfish desires pull them away from God in the center and led to their death. Now, yes, non-Christian friends, or if there's any listening, you know, here in the future or right now, I don't know. You're going, good grief, you said you weren't getting biblical. Okay, I'm not going to apologize for going. But seriously, like, think about your own life. Like, that's however you want to play it. Like, God is the center. Goodness is in the center. And when we chase after these things we think we need, what happens? It pulls us away from our joy, our contentment, our happiness, like what we actually need to be happy, and pulls us away to just this frenzy, chaos. And we ultimately end up digging our own grave, chasing after all this other crap that we thought is what we needed. When really, we're content in the middle. And it's not to say you can't chase money and, you know, position, power, you know, any of that stuff. I'm not saying that. The greatest leaders are those who at those positions who are content. The worst ones are the ones chasing after the cravings at the edge. That's what God is wanting to avoid. It's like, I know if I give you all of this stuff, you're going to be awful leaders and awful stewards of it, because you're not going to have learned the lesson and be grateful for it. And so that's where we pull in ourselves and then our kids. Like, we can't give our kids everything they want. Right? You go, yeah, we can. We can give them the latest clothes, phones, sports, travel team, whatever they want. Like, let's just make them happy and make them the center of the freaking universe. And that's going to end up so well. Because if you look at culture right now, that's exactly what we've done. We have created generation upon generation of saying, you do you. You do what makes you happy. You need to find you and your joy and your happiness, which is the most bogus baloney line we can feed anyone, because we're pushing everyone to their graves. In saying, you are the center. You're the most important. Your feelings, your thoughts, all these things, you go chase whatever makes you happy. We have now just dug the graves for all sorts of generations. Okay, let's not get crazy here, soapbox guy. But think about it. What we're doing to our kids, what we're doing to ourselves. I mean, think about the amount of burnout and stress. I mean, you saw it in the pandemic. People that are like, I'm leaving work. I'm done. Why? Because they saw what they were chasing led to nothing. Right? There's divorce. There's fraud, bankruptcy, just all sorts of problems are coming. And I'm not saying everybody's this way, but that on the whole is what happened. Because everybody was chasing the latest thing, saying, if I just had this, I would be content. If I just could do this, I would be content. If I could go back to the way things were, whatever, fill in the line, life would be better. But it's not. It's not, right? To quote, again, from the Bible, Paul, right? It's, I've learned to be content in whatever my circumstances are. Poor, rich, naked, clothed, famine, hunger, whatever, I'm good. And it's not saying you can't have great things. It's saying being content with what we have. It's not saying I don't want to chase more money. It's the motive behind it, saying, why are you chasing money, right? So here's my example. Let me play it out this way for you. I want to be rich. I want to be loaded, not because I want status, fame, or some car. I don't even know the fancy cars. I mean, I would just be happy for a vehicle that is the year we're living in. Not like the pickup I drive now is 30 years old. The newest vehicle I've ever had is this van I have that's 2014, maybe 2016. I don't remember that or the pickup. One of those was 2016. Okay, close, but wasn't. All right, I would be happy to just be like, hey, look, I bought a vehicle in 2023, and it's a 2023 edition, which is already old, right? That'd be cool, but I don't care. The reason I want money is because money, you having money, gets you back time and freedom. I want time and freedom to do this, to record podcast episodes, to interact with people, to be with my kids, to build things that I want to build, to help out, you know, my community, the world, like do those kind of things, because you can't when you're working 9 to 5 or whatever you want to fill in the blank. It's really hard to do extra stuff with it. And then that's all you do. And so I have enjoyed working for myself because I get to be home and see my kids when they come from school and make those decisions. It's stressful. Absolutely. But the reason I'm doing it isn't because I want fame, fortune, and get to wear Gucci or, I don't know, whatever you wear. Again, like, I've never understood wealth, you know, because we're came from poor circumstances. But the point to say, not that I'm amazing and better because I don't want all that stuff, it's that idea of contentment, right? You could be the poorest person, and there are, right? You go visit third world countries, other place, you look, oh, they got nothing. But they got a smile on their face that's amazing. Like, how do you have that? Like, because I'm content. I've gotten what I have, what I need. My family, my friends, some food, and my kids. You know, and we all go visit, and oh, they're amazing. We come back. Let's change our, like, let's get rid of everything. That'll make us happy. No, that won't change anything. It doesn't change your heart just to sell all your clothes and your stuff. Now, maybe you're obsessed with it and you get rid of it to get that hold off your life. But it's a heart change. It's a heart change that you have to learn and teach yourself to say, look, I have to learn to be content with the circumstances I'm in. It's a thing I had to learn to where I'm like, I hate this. I'm now a painter. I'm a 33-year-old man who's having to start over with life. His wife left him. His, you know, church, he's done with that. The job he thought he was going to have the rest of life. And then it's just all, and you just, and I'm mad and upset. Woe is me. And you step back and go, well, do you have a house? Yeah. Do you have food? Yep. Health? Yep. Kids? Yep. What do we complain about? Well, I mean, you know, what used to be when I was here, oh, when you're, you know, in your marriage that was crumbling, that was awful. You were addicted to porn. You're in debt. You're putting on some fancy show that you thought was great for everybody because you're a pastor, so you had to be perfect. Yeah, that you want to go back to that? Well, I mean, it was easy. It was easier? Really? Who are we kidding here? Oh, well, right? I mean, that's ridiculousness of all of this to where we're like, we just get so obsessed of like, we're missing out or we're falling behind of like, take it a day at a time. Do today, focus on today and be content with what you have. But and not missing what you have, right? That's what leads to uncontentment is we forget what we have, right? The Israelites had everything they needed. Everything. But it wasn't enough for them because they bought into that lie of like, God's not going to provide. God's holding out. He's not. He's going to take care of you through it all. And so that's that thing to where do we give our kids everything they need? Or do we give them what they need? Or sorry, do we give them everything they want or give them what they need? They don't need all these toys. They don't need the latest phones, clothes, shoes, sports, whatever. They don't need that. They want your time. They want quality time with their parents. They want to be taught how to use their money, how to be content, how to build things, how to create, not how to consume. Right, if we can teach our kids how can you create more than you consume, your life's going to be amazing. How do you create opportunities for others? How do you serve others? How do you help others? How do you make the most of life? How do you avoid ending up in a grave of craving? Right, to where you're consumed by what you don't have or what you wish you had. Right, and so contentment, by definition, right, is the degree of happiness which consists in being satisfied with present conditions. A quiet, uncomplaining, satisfied mind. That's contentment. It's not doing like the Israelites where you look back and go, man, we used to have such a great life and all these things. What life? When you were slaves? That life? Yeah, but at least we had this. Okay. Or, you know, going forward and going, well, you know, if I had this, or maybe if we could do this, or this would be better in the future. Say, nope, this is where I'm at. I'm present. I'm happy. I'm in today and grateful for what I have. And so beginning to learn of this is where I'm at, that contentment of going, okay, I'll be provided for in this day. And this day is all I need to worry about. not the past, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today, knowing that everything I need is right here. If we can begin to teach our kids that, we can help them avoid the catastrophe that we see in Numbers 11, right? And it ends, as I said, with the people naming that place Graves of Craving. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of Dad Talks. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment and leave a review. And make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on any episodes.